Talk Show.
Recorded live.
A podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 66 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about caching wishes and custom POI dreams. Welcome tonight. Well, if you want to participate on our show, since we are live, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID, as always, is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners who are listening live with us. That can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now button to participate. If you want to call in a voicemail, we have 206-350-3GPS, and that's our voicemail line. You can leave us a message there anytime. I want to welcome back Montu Ryder and Daryl W4 as my co-host tonight. Welcome, guys. Montu, what's going on in the world of Montu?
Well, unfortunately, nothing much. We've had a lot of heavy rain showers. In fact, got rained out of both Saturday and Sunday with some heavy thunderstorms that came through the area. My office has me also with so much overtime that it's far too late to do anything after work. But I will have some great news for next week's show. Something special happening tomorrow.
Ooh. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that.
I'm intrigued.
Well, you know, at least it's hot enough outside that you probably don't want to go out anyway.
That's true.
As for myself, it's pretty much the same old thing, working on podcasts, but I did get out to shoot some photos with some friends on Saturday. Not anything terribly interesting, but we did get to see some herons and baby cranes and all kinds of cool stuff like that. How about you, Andy?
Nothing as cool as you guys. As far as working on podcasts and shooting photos and stuff. Myself, I just was interested, found out that TalkShoe, the service that we use to do this service, has an API, and I can actually pull the chat from previous shows up, and so I was working on a webpage that would do that so I can read what's previously written here. I may go ahead and start posting those so people that don't listen live can see what kind of craziness goes on here during the live show. So, with that, Daryl, you want to kick us off on your wishes for geocaching?
Sure. Well, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, my number one wish is that they bring back virtual caches. You know, I just love the virtual caches for all the little history bits that you picked up, you know, for all of the unique educational experiences that they provided in areas that you couldn't place a cache. So that's my number one wish.
Yeah, mine is something similar to that, too. Mine would be bring the webcam caches back. They're just unique, and it's a cache that I like. I never found one while they were still available. I mean, I know that there's still a few around, but I did own one, and unfortunately, the webcam went down, and I had to archive it, and now I can't create any new ones. I had a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun because it was in Chicago. It was a lot of fun to see the people standing with the geocaching.com logo trying to get their picture taken in front of the webcam. It was cool. I wish that they'd bring that back. So, Montu, what about yourself?
Well, for me, with using the Garmins and everything, I wish the geocaching function that are in those GPSs would still work when you use the different icons instead of just the one set icon that they've got with it. Now, I hear it's not an issue with the Magellan Explorers users, so I'm kind of a little bit jealous of those guys. Daryl, you got another one?
Well, actually, it also works well on the Colorado, better than it does on the Explorist, if I remember, because on the Colorado, the geocaching function actually does still change them to the found cache icon when you find them. In the Explorist, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that one allowed you to. But my next one that I really would look for would be support for series of caches on geocaching.com. Something that would help us find, you know, what other caches there are in the series, whether it be a small series that's local or a big series that's national or even international. You know, something that would be a nice, easy way to flag and tag it as being something that you can do. And actually, Geek Boy is telling me that the Explorers does have that found capability. Unfortunately, the 600 I had, that didn't work if it had it. So that would be really nice to have. Getting back to my series, though, you know, one of the other things that they could do then would be something like a leaderboard or a find all caches that you haven't completed yet in this series. It'd be something that I'd really look forward to, especially for, you know, some of the newer challenge caches and things like that that have been showing up.
Well, before I get into my next wish, I want to remind everyone, too, that you can go ahead and call us, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Press the request to talk if you're in our chat room, or go ahead and press star T, and that will request you to talk on your phone. Go ahead and put, if you guys have anything that you would like to see implemented in geocaching.com or anything that GroundSpeak uses, go ahead and give us a call. We'd love to hear what your wishes are. My next one, and this is probably jaded just because I'm starting to really get into this whole API, PHP programming and stuff, and I'm just enough to be dangerous with it. It took me all week to create that chat logger thing, but I would like to see some sort of an API come out of geocaching.com that would allow me to get maybe my stats or something like that. And that I think would also go well with Daryl's wish, because I think you could probably do something as far as the leaderboards and stuff, something you could make an external thing if they would allow the API or the advanced programming interface to their thing. I know that there's data licensing issues and stuff like that, but I would like to see some sort of a like that, or a direct connection to GSAC that wouldn't allow me to be, because there's a way to do GSAC type stuff, but it's scraping, and I don't like doing that. But that's my wish, is I would like to see some way to get some data besides pocket queries off of geocaching.com.
Well, and that would make stuff like It's Not About the Numbers be a live instant update, which would just be so much nicer.
Yeah, that is true, instead of having to wait and get your one thing. But hey, you know what? If they do that, is that going to bring our uptime on the website down? Because I'd have to do a lot more processing.
Yeah, you know, you kind of wonder about that kind of stuff. But if it's done correctly and it's a direct connection to the database somehow, you know, the website itself shouldn't be affected, I wouldn't think. But you would have to probably wait longer to get the cache results back. So, you know, lots of considerations when you start opening up APIs. You know, especially if one of the programmers messes something up and overloads it, as Twitter knows very well.
Hey, now, yeah, definitely. I'm getting kind of tired of seeing the whale with the bird things.
Yeah, or the timeout connection, overloaded. Depending on which Twitter client you're using, it's a different message everywhere, it seems.
That is true.
Well, you know, one of the other things that I would really like to see is some kind of user rating system for time to complete the cache, some kind of scoring, you know, both for like difficulty and quality, and maybe even for ease of use for new cachers, you know, something maybe to flag it as recommended for new cachers by other cachers. But some way to feed back against the cache so that you know when you're going for a little bit more information that this is something that's easily done in half an hour, something that's done in an hour, something that's a five-minute find, and, you know, maybe someone doesn't agree so much that the terrain is a one, maybe it's a one and a half because it's not wheelchair accessible, and they can mark that kind of stuff in there too, so, you know, get an average rating and, you know, do some of the statistical work kind of behind that.
Now, but my question is, does that open up something where people start trashing geocaches? I mean, and by trashing, I mean, like, saying this cache stinks. I mean, I know you can say that in your log right now, but I'm saying, like, does it, like if you were to rate it low, and I guess a lot of people would rate it low, but, I mean, I guess does that come just because maybe a few people say it's low, it's not a great cache, does that mean it's not a great cache?
Well, one of the rules with most of the statistics is that you'll have to throw out a certain percentage of the extraneous entries. So if you have people rating it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, for instance, everyone's rating it a 6, and you have one that's a 1, then you know that that 1 has to be dumped out. So there's a bunch of rules I'm not really familiar with for statistical analysis, but I'm sure it'd be fairly easy to do that stuff and, you know, deal with some weighting and things like that, too.
Yeah, definitely. Montu, what do you have as far as wishes go?
Well, one thing's definitely for sure. Cooler days so I can get back out on the trails and start caching again. They can even still be rainy days, just as long as there's no lightning to it.
It's funny, you know, because we here in the Midwest, like me and Daryl, we get to the point during the winter where we're like, all right, I just want to get out and cache. Like, I'm getting sick of the parking grabs. I want to get out to the woods, and I want warmer weather. And while you're sitting there, you know, logging 50 to 100, you know, within a few days, a few months, and we're getting one or two, you know, every so often. And now it's just the opposite. We're in perfect weather. I mean, tonight I think it's like 75 or so. It's not very great, and or it's not very hot, and perfect to get out and do it. And there's not, you know, very many mosquitoes and stuff. And now you're where you can't get out because it's so hot. So it seems like it flip-flops when it's winter here. It's great for you for, you know, opposite ways. Oh. For.
Yeah. That's what I get for living in a climate that doesn't have snow.
maybe we can find a place that would be perfect to cache in. It would be great all year round.
I think that's Hawaii.
I'll second that.
All right, let's all. I say we move all to Hawaii.
Hey, but sounds good to me. Well, you know, I got one word for you guys that's going to solve all your problems. Wiiocaching. We need someone to come out with a game, you know, for like the Wii, so that you can do the networking and sit on the sofa and, you know, go scrounge up caches, do group caching over the network.
Hey, that'd be a perfect idea. I think I'd go for that one.
Yeah, you know, I'd definitely pick up a copy of that, and I know a few other cashers who'd do the same. And, you know, you sit around when it's cold, rainy, whatever, and cash with your buddies out in, you know, California or Alaska.
Definitely, definitely. Now, I guess that sounds like an awesome game. If there's any Nintendo Wii developers out there, get on it. We want to see a Wii game. So. I would say, too, one of my last ones is maybe a Spirit Quest flag and a less than 5-minute flag. So we can pull parking grabs out really easily in the winter. That, you know, there's obviously the less than an hour flag and stuff like that, but sometimes it's really hard to see if it's going to be less than 5 minutes or if it's a Spirit Quest cache. So I would say those two things are one of my last on our list here tonight for wishes. If you guys have any wishes, go ahead and type them into the chat room. We can read them if you're there. If not, if you want to call them in, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Let me say that again a little bit slower because I think I tripped up my fours. 724-444-7444. There you go. And our ID is 7525. Push request to talk and or star T or star 8 on your phone keypad, and we'll get you on the call in it. Anyone else have any caching wishes that they would like to see from geocaching.com?
Well, one thing one of our chat members just mentioned, kind of along the lines of Daryl's wiiocaching, he says that you can actually cache in Second Life. Now, that's not a game that I've gotten into, but he says he's even gotten a couple finds in there for him.
That's not a game that I've been into either, but I wouldn't surprise me that you can find him there. One of the things, too, that I would like to see, or I guess, and I've said this before, when we've done, when the cashers of the roundtable did a issue on wishes that they would like to see, one of the things that I said, or that I wanted to see, was a more uptime for geocaching.com. And I give them huge props for that. there's hardly ever now that you see the server page that can't find it. Occasionally, when you try to load a page, you get signal now with the error page, but not nearly as much as you did before. I want to give them props to that, and I think that's awesome, and I think that they're doing an awesome job at that. It definitely have been able to see more accessibility to GroundSphere or to geocaching.com. I hear that the Jodester has a wish. Montu, since you're there, or if she can come on the phone, go ahead and.
Yeah, unfortunately, she doesn't have a phone this time with her, but she wants a wheelchair that's better capable of handling the off-terrain so she can get to more of the caches.
Yeah, just some kind of like ATV.
Yeah.
That would work. That would definitely work. Well, if that's all that we have as far as wishes go right now, that's actually a fairly short list tonight. I want to go ahead and move into our next topic, which is the custom POI topic. And this topic wasn't originally planned to be in this show, but since last week when I made mention about trying to discuss the custom POIs, it was brought to my attention that some people didn't have any idea about them. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about it a little bit right now, let you kind of know what they are, how that works, what the advantages and disadvantages of that are. This will probably be a whole like monologue section of me, just because I'm the one that's kind of been working with this real quickly. But if anyone else has any input on it, I'm going to bring Geek Boy in later because he's been doing this some time now. But a lot of the GPSR units have a limited ability for waypoints, and it's usually about 500 to 1,000 waypoints. So what happens, though, if you want to use more than 1,000 waypoints? And I know, like, some people, like myself, I load 500 waypoints, and that will get me, you know, far beyond my just average driving time. If I'm going to be able to load different ones if I know that I'm going to be on a trip. Whereas people like Geek Boy, there's 500 caches within, you know, fairly short amount of distance for him. So he wants to be able, you know, to load more caches. Or like myself, I'm going to be going on this trip soon, and so I need to have the ability to load, I think at last check, it was somewhere around 4,000 caches that I would like to load into my GPS. So how do we go about doing that? And that's why I actually started looking into custom POIs. And so I found that I've got a Garmin. And at least with Garmin units, you have the ability to load custom POIs into the unit. And as far as we know, it's only limited by the space that's on your unit or on the card. So let's say you have a 2 gig micro SD card in there. The only limit is that SD card. So what are the pros and cons of using custom POIs, the points of interest, as opposed to the regular waypoints? Well, a good thing about it is, obviously, you have more files, more waypoints that you can use, the points of interest. They're only limited by the card that you have. So that's a good thing. Another good thing is that there's more information in the POI file that you can add. So it's easier to do... like paperless caching with it, because you get more information in there. And like, just for instance, the name field where you see when you have the map up on is two lines of 48 characters each, versus with the waypoint it's only one line of 14 characters. So you can see already that you have two lines and 48 characters each line for fields there. In the data fields of the POIs, you have up to four lines of data with 48 characters each versus one description field that's up to 30 characters. So you can obviously see, there's more data in there. Another good thing is unlimited custom icons too, where each waypoint, when you use a waypoint, you're limited to about 24 custom icons. So well, that roughly fits the geocaching decently. Well, let's say you want to add more custom icons that's not for geocaching. You can do that with the custom POIs because you have unlimited custom icons. And that you do. It's well, we'll talk a little bit more about that with, when we bring Geek Boy on. But that's and it's done by creating an icon and placing that in the folder when you create the POI file. So the cons, though, there are some cons about it, and you lose the geocache function ability, which is you can't mark it as found. You can't change it at all. You can't delete it when you're in the unit. I mean, you can delete it once you have it connected to your computer, but in the field, you can't delete it. So that is a con. Another thing is, you know, it you lose the geocache function ability. It doesn't put it in the calendar. So if you use that, then and if that's a huge thing for you, maybe you don't want to do the custom POIs. But what you can do with a custom POI is you can, once you see it, you can add it as a waypoint and then mark it as found. And so then you end up getting all of that information. Anyways, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Geek Boy from Illinois on right now because he does this quite a bit. Welcome to our call, Geek Boy.
Good evening.
So, yeah, this whole custom POI thing is kind of new to me. I understand you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I started doing this probably a little over a year ago myself.
Now, what do you mainly use it for?
Well, as you had mentioned, I live in a cache-rich area. I keep a GSEC database for about 100 miles around my home, and there are now over 8,000 caches in that database.
Because I often
end up going out caching without a lot of planning ahead of time, I like to have as much of that information available to me at any time so that if I happen to be in an area and I have some time, I want to cache, I can actually just go caching at the drop of a hat, so to speak.
Yeah. And for me, like I said, most of the time I don't have any problem with the 500 caches because that gets me somewhere, it's about 30 or 40 miles, but usually for me I'm not going to spontaneously cache more than 30 or 40 miles around me. And so for me that's usually fine, but it's this trip that I'm going to be taking. I've got so many more waypoints that I can't manage. I got looking into how to do that and found this. Can you briefly explain how you go about first off, can you do custom POIs in maybe the Magellan units? I don't know because I don't have one.
The Magellan units actually have an unfair advantage for the Explorer series that I've worked with. They actually don't limit you to a set number of caches. They limit you to a number of caches in a geocache file. So you have, I believe it's a 200 geocache limit per file, but you can then have multiple files. So for my 8,000 cache database, when I was loading that onto my Explorist, I was actually creating about 45 geocache files full of 200 caches each to get me my limits so that I could have the whole database available online.
We'll have to talk to you later about this, can you, with the Magellan units, can you display all of that data on the screen at once, or when you search for them, do you have to go through each separate file to, like, say you named them, like, in alphabetical order for a file, is there a way to see them all at once, or how does that work?
There is no good way for the Explorers to actually search across multiple files. You have to search each file one at a time. That's its big drawback as compared to using a Garmin.
Okay. Getting back to the custom POIs, how do you go about doing that? How do you create the file? How do you go about doing that?
Okay. When I first started looking into this, I actually found some very good historical references in the Groundspeak forums over on geocaching.com that give you a real good how-to on getting started and doing all of this. And I spent probably a week working with the information that they provided and created a set of instructions that I use myself. And I've actually now provided that out to several cachers in my area who use those same instructions, and they're able to start loading custom POIs into their units in about half an hour from when they start.
Hey, can you go ahead and send that to us so I can maybe post it on our website, geocachingpodcast.info?
I can do that for you. That's not a problem.
All right. So I guess what tools do we need and how do we go about doing that? What tools do we need to start to taking advantage of this?
Okay, the easiest way of taking advantage of this is to use Geocaching Swiss Army Knife or GSAC to create your extracts for you based off of your database that you're wanting to work with. At that point, you can actually take and create there's a macro that I use that when run will create extracts for you based on cache type and cache status, so if it's found or not found, as well as the type of cache it is, so that you can assign a custom icon for each status of cache as well. So if you have a disabled cache versus a disabled traditional versus a found traditional versus a not found traditional, and even an archive traditional, if you like, you can have separate icons for each of those so that when you're looking on your screen, you can distinguish exactly what the cache is on your screen.
Okay. How do you differentiate, how do you deal with the loss of the geocache function ability?
Okay. I actually did two things when I would do this. I would actually load geocaches up into the unit as well as the custom POIs. So I would have, for example, my 900 caches closest to home in my, when I was using my 60 CSX, as geocaches, and then I would also have my entire, at that time, about 7,500 geocaches as custom POIs. So if I was close enough to home, it would actually pull all of them in. I would have the geocache as well as a custom POI. Then if I was farther away from home, I only had the custom POIs to work with. So what I would end up doing is I would end up saving a group of custom POIs as geocaches and then work off of the geocaches that I had converted from custom POIs.
Okay. How is the best way to create them or switch them over to caches from POIs? Do you do that separately per one, or is there a good way to go in and do that?
I didn't find a good way of doing it for all of them. I actually ended up doing it one at a time based on the area I was working in. Usually I was with a group of cachers, so I would actually get the list of caches that they were planning on hitting, and I would go through that list from my custom POIs and save them as geocaches.
Okay. Now, do you need any, you mentioned GSAC. I don't think you mentioned exactly how to get the data that's expelled from GSAC to your Garmin.
No, I didn't mention that. Also, I didn't mention anything really about the custom icons, because you had said that you can have custom icons out there as well. And the custom icons, as you said, you create a bitmap file of specific characteristics, and you put that into the same directory as the output from the GSAC macro, which is actually creates GPX files for the macro I use, so it has much more data in it. And when you run the Garmin POI loader or custom POI loader, it will actually pick up both the GPX file as well as the icon and transfer those over to the unit itself.
Here's a question, and this is just out of my own curiosity, because I know that you can do a couple different things that are with the custom POIs. You can create a kind of like a proximity alarm with them that are automatically loaded, so you don't need to go and do the proximity alarm. It's on the GPS, that it just is automatically there with that one. Have you ever done that for caches, so you know that you're kind of close to one?
No, I've actually not done that because you actually have to set values in the GPX files, and I never actually pursued setting those in the GSAC macro, so I actually had never used the proximity alerts in the POIs.
I haven't done it with the geocaches yet, but I know that you can actually do it. For one, you can name your GPX the speed zone, you can name it like 60, and it will say that all the waypoints in there are 60 miles an hour by it. But another thing you can do too is you can actually go and do the advanced mode of the custom POI loader and tell it that that is that, that those files are proximity alarm ones.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you knew that or not, but you can.
I haven't used the advanced feature in quite a while because once I got everything up and running, I just use the express features myself.
And here
now I have learned another tip or trick that is useful to learn, and that is once you load your POI file onto your GPS, if you put the GPS into disk mode, you can rename that POI file into something else and then push a second POI file onto the unit. So you can have multiple POI files on the unit at the same time. You can split your POIs up into groups then so that if you're traveling in a trip, you can do your routes in one POI file or segments of the route in one POI file and move, you know, accordingly. I actually do that because I have a set of POIs that I keep in my GPS all the time, which are like my office, my home, and certain restaurants that I frequent, that I leave those as POIs in my GPS all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have those in a simple little POI file that sits out on the GPS all the time. I never actually ever delete that file.
Yeah, and that's good to note too, because when you use the custom POI loader, it does get rid of the POI file that's on the cache previous or on the GPS previously. So it is good to know that you can do that, so that if you want to keep some stuff, you can do that too.
Yes.
Another thing that I was thinking, and what would be nice, and kind of this is wishing again, but it's not necessarily from GroundSpeak, but it's Garmin, is I'd like to be able to use the custom POI loader via command line so that I could run that all from the GSAC macro. That'd be awesome. So I wouldn't need to go out and actually run the custom POI software. I could actually just go ahead and do it all through the macro.
I'm not positive if you can do it, but there may be command line parameters on the GUI that allow you to do that. I have seen that some of the Garmin programs allow you to send parameters on the command line to do that, so it might be a feasible thing to do.
I might have to look into that. one of the things that I've got a chart sitting here in front of me, and it's from a website that I'll go ahead and link to on our show notes, which are geocachingpodcast.info, that has all of the different features of waypoints versus POIs. So I'll go ahead and put a link to that in our show notes so you can see all of the differences between the two. Has anyone else ever used the custom POIs? I know we briefly talked about it last week. Go ahead and push the request to talk, or 724-444-7444, and ID 7525. If you've ever used that and would like to talk to us about it, I noticed that since we moved on, a couple of people have said their caching wishes too. One of them was that gas was still a dollar. Yes, I would love that too. That'd be great for many things, but caching would be awesome. I don't think I'd ever be home because it would be really cheap and easy to get around. But, anyone else either have anything to put in as far as caching wishes or custom POIs, give us a call or put us a request to talk, or just go ahead and put it in the chat room. We'll be here wrapping up here soon. So if you want to do that, go ahead and get that in right now.
I'd like to interject one more point on the custom POIs.
Sure.
It's not only limited to the Garmin units that have the memory cards available. If your unit has any free memory, you can actually use that as well. And for space-wise, my 8,000 custom POIs that I load into my unit now take up less than 1 megabyte of space on the unit. So you don't need a lot of space to put in a lot of custom POIs to your advantage. So if you've got an older model that doesn't have a memory card in it, you can still store custom POIs in there if it's a Garmin.
I was not aware of that either, because I've got the eTrax Legend, and I didn't try it on that, but I did try it on my 76 CSX, and So far, I liked it. I haven't got a chance to go out and use it in the field as far as, you know, with the caching. So I'm going to, like I said, my first opportunity is on a road trip this year. But I'm definitely going to probably do that so I can load them all up and I don't need to worry about connecting it to the computer every night. So, yeah. Anything else, Geek Boy, that you'd like to put in here as far as the POIs?
Well, the other trick that I learned that I used heavily was I actually changed the proximities on the screen at which the zoom level on the screen at which the different icons appeared, and I set user waypoints to only appear at like less than 300 feet, and then the custom POI icons I actually would have display at anything less than, I believe it was 50 miles, so that when I was looking on my screen, if I was zoomed out more than a 300 feet zoom level, it would actually show me the icon from the custom POI and not just the generic geocache icon. And then when I zoomed into a closer zoom level, I actually had just the custom, I mean, just the standard treasure chest geocache icon. But that allows you to see at a glance when you're looking at a higher zoom level what type of cache you're looking for without having to pull out your PDA to look.
Geek, well, we had a question in the forum here. What GPS do you have?
Okay, well, when I started doing the custom POIs, I was actually using a Garmin 60 CSX, but I'm actually still using them with my Colorado unit, even though now it's not as necessary for me.
Okay. I really like the custom POIs. I would check into them if I were you guys. I'll have a link for the POI loader on our show notes, which is geocachingpodcast.info. Another thing, in wrapping up, I thought of this today, and because I was thinking of Geek Boy with these custom POI things. He had sent me a GeoCoin a while back, and I still have it in my possession. It's sitting right here, and I really, really, really want to give it to somebody. So I don't have a cute game or contest for it. It's actually just going to be random. It may be someone who calls into our voicemail. It may be someone who somehow promotes our show. It may be someone who donates through our PayPal link. It may be any number of different things. But it is going to be random, and I will announce when I do give it away. But even then, I still have some stuff sitting in my studio here from Groundspeak to give away, too. It's been a long time since we've done a contest. So, like I said, it's going to be random. And it just whenever I feel like giving it away, and whoever I feel like giving it away to, so good luck on that one. So, like I said, it's a greenback coin. It's a 2008 greenback coin. It's really cool. It's got a hummingbird on it in stained glass type thing. It's definitely really cool. So you probably want to win that one. Geek Boy, you don't really want the coin. You already gave it to me, and you have one. but anyways, so everyone, join us next week. We're going to be talking a little bit about how we prep for a cache outing, and that may be long trips, that may be short trips, that may be any type of outing. How do we do it? How do we prep for that cache outing? And it goes a little bit into this custom POI thing that we talked about tonight. It has something to do with it a little bit, but more even along the lines is how we go ahead and prep for that. Join us every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service, when you can call in live at 724-444-7444. And again, our TalkCast ID is 7525, or just go ahead and sign on to TalkShoe.com. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can also call our voicemail, which is 206-350-3GPS, anytime, and leave us a message, and we will try to get it on the show. So with that, go ahead, have a good week. Hopefully the weather in your area is good for caching. So go ahead, go get them.